We're going back this morning, and I'm still teaching on a life driven by reward, and we're talking about Jacob, and we've been laying down some things. God's been, this subject, I mean, all week the Lord just speaks to me about this, teaching. And all week, you know, there's just things that the Lord just has me going over and talking to me about these things. And really, what I'm teaching about here with Jacob has to do with our preparation right now in this end time. It's about our preparation right now. We're looking at principles that Jacob followed that made him an overcomer, got him in position of what God wanted to do and God's plan to be carried out. And for God's plan to be carried out, you're going to have God's blessing. You're going to have God's anointing on you. You can do it. Most people, majority of people, and even Christians, and I'm not saying from a critical standpoint, most Christians have their life plan and they've planned it and they're going to follow out their plan. And God can't get in edgewise because they have what they want to do. And, you know, and a lot of them, people say, hey, they're nice people, they're good people. Yes, they don't cuss, swear, smoke, do none of that kind of stuff. They aren't out here doing ugly things, but they're not walking right. Not into God's plan, they aren't walking right. And we need to hear from heaven, and we need to know God's plan. Now, I was praying, and the Lord was dealing with me about with Jacob and yesterday, and I said to the Lord, I said, you know, because they're talking about, you know, with our economy going on and stuff that's going on worldwide, and most crazy thing, you know, I ever heard in my life, you know, Greece can't make a $1.8 billion payment and they're acting like it's going to crash the world's economy. How does that work? We have banks. We have people in banks who steal more money than that in a day. And the banks don't crash. You know, some years back, there was like six banks involved. They had hackers took $50 billion away from them and didn't report it for almost 2 years because they didn't want bad reports out about their banks. And they figured Russian hackers did it. Now, if that didn't collapse the world's economy, how's Greece going to do that? See, we got the craziest stuff going on here. Are we so fragile that, you know, they have lied about everything? That would mean down in Washington, most everybody there is a liar, and even the Christians would be a liar. I don't understand what's going on, because we have all this stuff going on, and everybody's, you know, sitting out here, oh, this Greece thing's bad. It's like, hold it, somewhere something don't add up. How does $1.8 billion throw off the banks in Europe? I want to know how that works. You know, it ain't like one bank. You know, it ain't some local bank that only had, you know, $200 million. And we have all this stuff going on, and none of it makes sense, but yet people are out here going and carrying on. But I said, the Lord, all this nutty stuff going on, they're talking about economies, you know, and they're talking about stock markets and bed and all this kind of stuff and things going down the tubes. And I said, Lord, if you don't supply for the church, then you can't expect me to give money that I don't have. You can't expect it out of me. And I said, you can't do it out of the other Christians. I said, if we need money to send people out for the gospel, then you're going to have to be providing it. Whether or not what happens in the, with most people in the economy. But you know, I want you to understand this. If you look back in economies of any time and you study back through and look at years past and collapses and everything else that actually went on, there was always people that ended up good out of the deal. There's always people that end up good. I just want you to know I'm going to be one of them. Just wanted you to know that. But you can be, but it's depending on how you walk or how you think about this thing or where your confidence is at and what's going on of how we turn out. It's number one, as I told the Lord, if you're not supplying what you said you would do, then you can't expect us. It's number one, you need to understand, this is what people do all the time. They're trying to carry out God's will in their own power and their own strength. This is what they're doing. They're trying to do. You know, there's some things in Scripture, you know, that we use the Scripture and it talks about giving seed to the sower. And actually, actually the translators didn't say give seed to God, but the one giving multiplying the seed to the sower. It says that God will multiply your seed. They added words to that and said seed to the sower when the Scripture don't say that. That isn't in the Greek. God will multiply your seed. See, you need your seed multiplied. I need more seed to sow, so I need my seed multiplied. See, they want you, they keep telling you and preaching to us, you got to sow it so you get seed. No, God will multiply your seed so you have more to sow. That's what God said. Man said, no, that can't work that way. We're going to have to translate it different because it don't make sense. No, I want to tell you it'll make sense. Hallelujah. I believe in planting seed, but it wouldn't be nice to have more seed to sow. And the word says that he will multiply the seed, your seed. Hallelujah. I like that idea. Then we'll get into the sowing thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why? Because he wants you to have a larger crop yet coming back to you. He don't want you to have to keep waiting around. Glory to God. And I believe God, we're going to get into some supernatural reaping and harvesting and sowing and all that carrying on in these last days. The Bible talks about the plowman overtaking the reapers. Hallelujah. Sounds like good news to me. I'm going to tell you what, get that stuff out of the field. I'm a coming of sowing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you want something coming in on every wave? I don't know about you. I do. Maybe you don't. I don't know. But I like this Jacob character. And anyhow, we've been teaching on Jacob. Last week we talked about Jacob, and we're looking at something, things, qualities about people. And I want you to understand this. You're going to have these qualities if you want to get over into God's reward. You're going to have Jacob's qualities. Number one, we talked about Jacob. Jacob wanted the blessing, first of all. And he didn't let anybody stand in his way to get it. I'm going to tell you what, you need to start getting aggressive concerning the kingdom of God. Jesus said, the violent take it by force. You're going to have to go after it because there's all kinds, just like today, there's all kind of, the majority of the church world is going to stand in your way and tell you, you don't have to do that, don't do this, don't, you know, you don't do it. Everything else is okay out here, it's all right. You know, we don't realize that how much bad preaching. I was totally shocked. I was driving along this week listening to a radio program of a minister. And a guy that I've listened to him quite often. He's not spirit-filled, but he always has a lot of good messages. He has a lot of good things to say. He's very popular. He's big. He's on a lot of radio stations, and he's on a lot of Christian radio, and he's on TV. And I was listening to him, and I was just totally flabbergasted and shocked with him because he was talking about salvation and how it works. And I'm going to tell you what, he was so unbiblical, I couldn't believe it. See, this junk we got going out here today is seeping in everywhere. People have let the script. Basically, what he came down to is you really are an old sinner saved by grace. He didn't even talk about the new birth whatsoever concerned. You just get yourself covered with the blood of Jesus. You're just a sinner, but you're covered with the blood. That's what salvation is. And I listened to him, and he made statements, and I thought, dear God, this is really this is Gnosticism. This is part of the things, yes, yes, God did something to your heart, but you're just going to live like hell, you know. You're just an old sinner. We're just trying our best to stay out of sin. We're just trying. And I said, listen to this man. What he gave when he told wasn't even a new birth. There was no new birth involved in it. Your spirit didn't get changed. You didn't get a new spirit. You just got covered with blood because God needs a cover to put over you because you're an ugly, sinful mess. Talking that stuff, and I listened to him, I thought, my God, what is going on out here? What is happening? See, the truth's not getting preached. See, all you got was forgiveness of sin. That's it. That's what you got. Well, dear Lord, Jesus died for nothing. They already had that in the old covenant. They already had it. What did Jesus come for? And I sit and listen to him, and I thought, man, where are we at? Where are we at in this thing? And what is happening is this, is people are not after God. There's one thing that I know. In his mind, he's after God, but he's not in reality. If he was after God, he'd run into him. And he would find out. God, see, we have all these messages, and people talk about it. I'm not after the guy with the next good message. I'm not after the next good book. I don't even care about him. I don't even pay no attention to it. I'm after God. I want God to talk to me. I want God to speak to me. I want to know the direction God is going. What he's doing in this day and time is going after him. Because we got, I mean, my words, everybody's brother's writing books and doing things. That's fine. That's good out here, you know, doing things. But I want to tell you what, we as individuals have to run into God. We have to get to that place. Jacob was not satisfied. He wanted to run into something and he was after it to get it. But we found out about Jacob's quality. His qualities are so far superior to his brother's. His brother's qualities would have nothing but led to destruction, would have meant nothing, God's kingdom would have never progressed or gone anywhere if his brother would have gotten the blessing. And I'm going to stick with God because God loved Jacob and hated Esau. And I want you to know this. I love Jacob and I hated Esau. I'm the same. See, you're allowed to hate people. I'm sorry. God did. I'm allowed to. If you don't hate Esau, you ain't like God. See, we need to get over it. That's what, I tell you what, I bet Jacob thought, I can't let my brother have the blessing. If he has got that thing, man, we're done. The promise of Abraham will never be carried out through that scumbag. We need to see today. I want you to know and understand this, Christian sitting in the pew. Quit letting these people carry their message, these big name people carry their message. We got to all become the messenger and start telling what's right. We got to stand up and say, no, this stuff is wrong. This is the message. Hallelujah. You ain't some cleaned up sinner. Glory to God. You're a born again child of God. Your spirit actually has God's nature. You don't have the sin nature. You were a sinner saved. Hallelujah. But you ain't a sinner no more. If you're still a sinner and you believe that in your heart, you're going to end up in hell. God ain't got no children that are sinners. God has none. My words. No wonder the church is in the mess it is today. The big names don't even know what the new birth's about. It's like, dear Lord, we're in trouble. Hallelujah. I want to follow Jacob. Jacob has qualities. He's after something. He runs into God. He makes a vow with God. Hallelujah. He wants the blessing. He's going to go after it. And we need to understand this is about Jacob. The glorious thing about Jacob is Jacob went on, got the blessing and then went on a journey without anybody else blessing him. He didn't have his daddy didn't give him a nickel. We'll find out as he went along. He said when he arrived at Laban's, all he had was a staff. His daddy didn't give him any money or anything to go down there and get a wife. His wife was bought for him. But he had to go down and get his own wives. But we once saw something. What he prized, we talked about last week. He ran into a young woman, and man, he loved her, it said. And the Bible told us, we looked last week, it said, he made the decision, Laban didn't, he made the decision that he would work 7 years to have her for a wife. He'd work 7 years. Like I said, boy, we're surely different in our culture about things. See, you know, we have in our culture, really, the women probably are more aggressive to get married. They shouldn't do that. They should make a guy work for them. Over my years, I've had women come and complain about their husbands, and I've said to them, was he like that when you married him? Yeah, well, you married him. What do you want me to do about it? You saw the way it was. You thought you were going to be God and change him. That's what it was. You were going to be God. And then he's going to jump my hoops when I want him to. And he don't. And you got to find out, does he really want you? I like this man. He found her so valuable, he said, I'll work for her for seven years to work to get her. I would do that. He'd give 7 years of wages just to marry her. 7 years of wages just to marry her. He found her that valuable. He loves something. In other words, we see this about Jacob. Jacob has the quality, when he finds something that's worth something, he will do and endure the time to get it. And we found out he was cheated. He ended up with another wife. But you know what he did? He went another 7 years because he loved her and he wanted her. And you need to understand, I heard preachers criticize because he didn't like Leah as much. God never rebuked him and not like it. He never said he loved Leah. He loved Rachel. And he worked 14 years to get her. In other words, this man is after reward. He does not stop. Surely he's patient because we know this. In this 14 years, he's treated badly. He's not treated good by Laban. Laban lies and cheats to him. Cheats him. We're going to look at some of that today. But we found this quality, and you're going to need to know this about prospering with God. You cannot become weary in well-doing. And when this man put out his word, he kept his word. He kept his word. You're going to have to do that. You give your word to something. You don't change it. If you gave somebody your word to do something, you don't change that word unless they give you permission to do it. Over the years, I've had people come to me, Christians that come and they'll say, oh, we're going to do this or do that. And they say, well, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to change. They come. They told me. And I think, they're not going to go anywhere in their faith. They come along and tell you something and they just decide they're not going to do it. And they're just going to go do something else. They don't even ask you if it's all right. No. I made a commitment to you, but who are you? What I want to do is more important. I want you to see this quality. When he was taken across and he didn't get what he wanted, he didn't walk away mad. In fact, we don't find that he said anything about it. He wanted Rachel. He had a prize that he wanted. Look, the prize is always going to cost you something with your time and things like that. It's going to. You know, there's no quick fixes in the body of Christ. There is no, from God's way, you know, quick wealth. You know, you're just going to go out here and sow and God's going to automatically give you 100-fold back. You believe that, you need another dip. It ain't going to be happening. It takes time. It takes labor and work. God said he'd bless the labor of your hand. He didn't just say he'd bless the seed that you sow. You know, a farmer goes out here, he don't just sow and then go on vacation the rest of the summer. He's got some labor in his hand. He's out there doing something. And why? Because it's the labor of his hand that's going to get blessed. And we need to understand this. There's no such thing in the body of Christ is believing and not doing. We got this thing today, and it's been wrong. People taught you just go out here and you just confess and you just say something and you just give something. And you say, no, it's the labor of your hand. It's blessed. There's things you're going to have to do. There's things you're going to have to do along the way that you're going to work. And we see this man here, he's doing things along the way, but he sets himself a goal. And how much do you want your goal? Mike set himself on a goal. We know he has, you know, talked to us about and that stuff. There's things he wanted to achieve concerning his work field and the area that he works. And when he, you know, wanted to achieve it, he started into it. I don't think he really realized how hard it was going to be. He knew it was going to be hard. I know he talked to me about it. But when he got into it, it seemed a lot harder. And you know what? Mike wanted to quit. Why? You ain't ever going to achieve. If you have never done anything or never come to the place where you started to do something and it got hard and you wanted to quit, you never tried much of anything in your life. Well, most people, as soon as anything gets a little difficult, to quit. You know, and Mike's talked to me about this thing quitting. And I know the Lord spoke to me about it and told Mike, you know, God was in this thing that Mike was doing. See, there's a reward. And you know what it is? At the end, when Mike received that thing, there is financial reward in having that. And you know what? He couldn't just believe and confess. That boy had a work. Didn't you, Mike? You had a work. You were laboring, weren't you, Michael? More than you wanted to. Work. Why? But there's a payoff. There's a payoff that he wanted. There's a payoff. And we need to understand that. We need to get that back in the church world again. You know, we got to get this thing out here. A lot of this stuff has taught people about money and giving and stuff. There's been a lot of things that people have gotten lazy. And that's the reason why the prosperity doesn't come like they want it. You don't want to ever get lazy. You always want to make sure that your hand is doing something, that you're working and laboring, because you want to have a place where God can bring something to you. That's what you want to have, and something greater. That doesn't mean you have to do what Mike did, but we should be laboring. We should have something out there that we're laboring. We should have a goal set of something we want. What's your goal? Is it just retirement? That's what most of American are. Their goal is their retirement. That's all they're looking for, is to quit laboring. I don't want to do anything. That's their intent. That's what they're looking for. Well, that can't be. And that's why. Did you ever notice how many people retire and their health falls apart and everything else starts going down the tubes? Everything else? Why? Because they quit in life. You know, people say, well, I know, man, I'm my bad health. If you ain't doing nothing, you don't even need health. Go home to be with Jesus. You don't even need health. Down here, you need health to do things. If you ain't going to do nothing, you don't need health. What do you need it for? Good preaching. See, I'm sure this is sort of undignified preaching. But see, I want you to show this man, because we want to look at this guy. This guy is after something. He wants something. He is willing to go. You know, Mike was teaching, it comes back to that patience thing. I'm going to tell you what, that patience thing is a big thing here in the end times. Because right now, when Mike started teaching this, our nation wasn't as scummy as it is right now. And it's going to require patience to maintain and keep doing the right thing and not back down. This guy just keeps doing it. He is after something, and he don't let things stand in his way to get it. He's going to go on to it. Now, we're going to look at chapter 30. I'm going to read some things here in chapter 30. And starting at verse 25 in chapter 30 of the book of Genesis. And It says in chapter 46, it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and children from whom I have served you, and let me go, for you know my service which I have done for you. And Laban said to him, please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, name me your wages and I'll give it. So here Laban understands this. Laban has been blessed. Laban has become rich by this man being with him. It's the blessing on the labor of whose hand? It's the blessing that is on Jacob. Church, you need to understand that. The blessing of Abraham is on the Gentile through Christ Jesus. The blessing of Abraham is whoever blesses you will be blessed. No, God said he'd bless you, but also whoever blesses you would be blessed. And whoever curses you is going to be cursed. And we're going to find out Laban's going to end up cursed. Because he's being blessed by Jacob being with him, but he's keeping it all. He's keeping it all. He has given nothing to Jacob. All Jacob has now at this time is wife and kids, and that's all he got. He don't have any property. He has nothing that's his. Because this man who he's been, and the guy says, I know you're prospering. I want you to stay. And the reason he wants you to stay, sort of like I was talking last week and using the illustration again when I was out in Tulsa and worked in a grocery store there. Same illustration. See, when I was going to leave and it was like I was going to be like Jacob, I come and said, the Lord told me to leave 2 weeks and I'm out of here. And then the guy wanted to give me a raise. Now he wants to be, oh, come on. He's no different. I know that I'm blessed because of you. You need to stay. I can't get somebody. That's right. I said, you can't get somebody to do all I did because nobody else is going to do this. And he couldn't. And see, he ended up cursed. He cursed me and God cursed him. He lost his job. Don't ever curse the blessed. I've watched Christians go down the tubes by cursing other Christians, not doing right by them. And I've watched Christians go down the tubes. You don't ever curse the blessed. That's why you better keep your word. See, if you want to really prosper in God's keeping, you got to be a person of your word. Keep your word. You say you're going to do something, do it. Keep your word. And don't get weary in well-doing. Keep doing what's right. You need to understand this. Jacob worked for an employer that wasn't right, but he didn't change his character because he had a bad employer. You might work for somebody or do work for someone, or whether it's you're in business and doing work for somebody, and they don't do things right by you, but you keep doing what's right. Why? I'm going to tell you what. God's going to take care of you. That's God's job. See, what I had to learn the lesson when I worked out in Oklahoma, the lesson that I had to learn from God was I was supposed to go to work and do what I did as unto the Lord. And I wasn't. At first, I was going and doing it unto that guy, and he made me mad. He made me mad because he wouldn't treat me right. I'm working hard for him, and he isn't doing anything. Until the Lord got my attitude changed, I was looking to the wrong person for the blessing. I was looking at, see, Jacob had the blessing of God on him. He was smarter than Ed was. Ed was a born-again Christian, and Jacob was smarter. He knew he had the blessing of God on him, and he wasn't just looking at Laban. He just kept after it. Because you want to find, as you go on and read this story, he was expecting God to do stuff for him. See, I would be saying, well, God will bless me and he'll help me. But my real actions to it was I was expecting that guy to do something for me. You know, that guy never did do nothing for me, and he got to the point where the Lord would not allow him to do anything for me. He said, you go, no matter what he offers you, you don't take it. And that became his curse. And he couldn't get anybody else to take the job and stay there, and he ended up losing his job. But you know what? I had to learn. I couldn't fight with him, and I couldn't. You need to understand that whatever condition or place that you're in or you're working, you continually do right whether or not they do right by you. Why? Because you're the blessed of the Lord. I mean, you go to work for the Lord. You know, I used to do this every day. When the Lord said, go work for him, every day for it. I'd go, praise God, I'm working for Jesus. And I'm going for the Lord. Lord's, and I'm working, Lord, I'm here doing this as unto you. And I would go to work. You know what? I stayed happy the whole time then I was there. I hadn't been happy for a while. Now I was going to work happy every day because I know who I'm really working for. I know who I'm expecting to bless me. Look, you're limited by the wealth of the person you work for. If you're working for somebody or you're whatever you're doing, we all do in some way. Even if you have your own business, you're working for other people. You're doing things. But you're limited if you're looking to those individuals. Now, that doesn't mean God can't give you wealth through those individuals, but you need to look to God because He has more sources than any person in the earth. Look, you need to understand this for prosperity. These kind of things are not taught out here. They just keep taught you. You just keep throwing money out there. There's many reasons why people don't get anything back from God. And sometimes it's because they don't understand how the system works. This is how the system works. I've learned this over time. This is how it works. The Lord taught me this. I've learned it by experience, you know. There's some things I went to the school of hard knocks. I don't want you to go there. That's not the way to learn this. If I would have listened better on some things, I wouldn't have had some trouble in some areas. But you need to, if you listen to these things, but you always want to keep your attitude right, whether other people's attitudes are right or not. Whether other people are lying, cheating, and stealing, you're not. You're honest. You committed to a job. Do the job, whether they say so or not, whether they, you know, appreciate or do it. You do a good job, whether they're rewarding other people. I'm just telling you, you learn you're going to have to be patient. You know, just go back and go online and download those messages Mike taught on patience and go listen to them again. And go over there and say, oh me, I didn't do that. But listen to them. Jacob was patient, but Jacob came along and he said, I want to leave. Laban says, no, no. He said, don't go. Don't go. He said, tell me what you want. Don't go. But I want you to, his whole thing was, man, I got the cash cow here. He's not interested. He knows that God is blessing him. He has the idea that I can still cheat this man and get the blessing. He doesn't see what's coming down the road. Think about this. Over 14 years have passed. 14 years have passed. This guy went, we're going to find out, from almost nothing to a whole bunch. All because of Jacob. Well, I know this. He wasn't a good worker or he would have had something. And I want you to see this. Jacob just didn't get blessed because he had the blessing. He worked like he was blessed. We're going to find out. Jacob was a worker. Woo! See, we need to get this stuff preached back in the church again. They don't talk nothing. You don't hear the guys out here that are preaching, you know, send me the check. They ain't telling you this. You need to understand this. We got to work. We labor with our hands. We do stuff. Praise God. Ain't nothing wrong with it. It's good stuff. We're working. You know, some of us might get dirty working. Others work in offices and stuff. Whatever we do, we need to do as unto the Lord. And we need to be good at it. Hallelujah. We don't go out and taking the extra breaks all the time and doing all this kind of stuff and said, well, the other people ain't doing nothing. I ain't doing nothing. When I was a sinner, I thought like that. I got to be a saint and I got a conscience. Hallelujah. That's why I'm convinced that many people call themselves Christians are not. They have no conscience. They can still sin and don't bother. They can live like hell and don't bother. They do wrong and don't bother. Thank God I got a conscience. Hallelujah. I needed one. I don't know about you. I needed a conscience. Hallelujah. Mine stank. Well, he asked him for what he wanted. So Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own family? In other words, look, I gotta have some wealth of my own. I gotta be able to take care of my own family. Just think, this guy's been working for this guy for 14 years, and this man, you know, you got your wives and that's it. Yet this guy has increased in wealth. He's not sharing it with nobody. We're gonna find out he didn't even share it with his daughters. He didn't share it with nobody. This man's a taker. You know, he's the guy of like, you know, keep sending me the check, keep sending me the check, keep sending me the check. I want you to tell this. Some of this stuff's going to get judged shortly. I'm going to tell you what. Look, I am not telling you things so you guys would give me some money. I want you to know this. I want you blessed. I want you to prosper. It's time we do. Most of you sitting here haven't gotten what God wants to give you. You need to step into what God wants because God has a plan for you. You know, we need to come to the forefront. We're the church. Hallelujah. We're the salt in the earth. Glory to God. There's enough salt for all the meat and rot in this earth. There's enough salt. Hallelujah. And God wants the church to come again to the forefront. Hallelujah. 31, he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. He said, if you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. He said, let me pass through all your flocks today, removing from there all the speckled and the spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and the speckled among the goats, and those shall be my wages. For this purpose, now like he said this, we're going to do this. Why? So my righteousness will answer for me in time to come. Well, see, why? He knows this guy's dishonest because we found out he cheated him 10 times. He changed his wages. He said, we're going to do this thing. We're going to do it. And here's how it's going to be done. And this is what we're going to do. And you ain't going to have a word to say about it. You're going to know that I'm righteous. And in other words, you're going to find out if you try to change it, you're not. And he says, so when the subject of my wages comes before you, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. And Laban said, wahoo, we want this. Yes, glory to God. I want to tell you why Laban agreed to this. Because he asked for a small amount at that time. This is a small amount. And Laban's thinking, I'm getting all this is good. He's taking these ones out here. Oh, I got all of them out here. This other one. Yeah, he's getting the stuff. Laban thought he was going to end up with something. But I want to tell you, God's in this thing. And here again, this is a thing that come along and preachers preach like Jacob stole. I want to tell you what, if Jacob took anything, the real thief is God. Because we're going to find out as we read this, God is the one who gave Jacob the plan to do what was done. God did. And if Jacob cheated anybody, then our God is a cheat. You can't blame Jacob. He followed God. That's why I wish these preachers would, you know, do something when they read the Bible that they could actually read it. But they blame Jacob. Jacob didn't take nothing here. Jacob didn't do nothing bad. He's going to follow the plan of God. God had given him the plan. See, Laban was sort of like with Abraham and Lot. Lot looked down there and saw all the real green grass. You understand? You know, just Jacob came along and said, I'll just take the spotted and the ones with brown. I'll take those. And you get the rest of them. Oh, yeah. Wow, that's good. Well, remember with Lot and Abraham? You know, they got such big flocks and herds. And what did Abraham do? Abraham didn't say, look, I'm the guy that's running this show here and I get first pick. No, he gave, okay, Lot, what do you want? Well, who ended up being the blessed guy? See, Lot was moved by what he saw. Oh, I'm going to do much better down there. If I go down there towards Sodom, it's going to get better. I'm going to tell you, Sodom had sodomy going on down there when he picked it and he knew it. But he said, there's green grass down there. Abraham goes, okay, you go. And who ended up the blessed? Jacob comes along and said, look, I'll take the little, you get the lot. Let's see. That dumb man didn't figure it out. I'm blessed because you're here. Now he has the idea that this guy could take two goats and two sheep. If God's going to bless him, he's going to end up with a bunch. If he's the reason of the blessing, he's going to end up with a lot. Because the blessing. See, this is what? People who aren't spiritual are so dumb and don't get it. They will always go for what looks good. See, this is why you have to understand spiritual principles. If you understand spiritual principles, you will not be moved when the natural seems to be going another way. You won't be moved about this is the best job to have because they're giving more money. I see many people go on, they're going after more money. Wouldn't it be nice to listen to God? God knows which job will do really the best for you. Wouldn't that be the smart thing to do? Oh, this would be more money. Or this will do this, or this will do that. Did you ask God? No, God wants to bless me. I've heard people do this. Well, if God wants to bless me, so he'll want me to have the more money. He wants to prosper me. Yeah? Well, it may not be through that place. I've watched people lose, you know, going off to another job, went to a job, and were only there a little while, and ended up out of a job, and they didn't have none. You think God wouldn't have known that? So it would be good to ask God. Well, we find in verse 35 here, it says that, so he said he moved. That day, he said, the male goats that were speckled and spotted and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted and every one that had some white in it and all the brown ones among the lambs and gave them into the hands of his son. And he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. If you go on down through it, it goes through this thing down here, and I'm not going to read all of this morning, but read through it. You can read it. Where he took branches and he cut things off. Now, understand, here's what he did. He took, and I want you to see what God did. This is the most remarkable thing of God's prospering Jacob. Do you know who God, who was, now he divided the two flocks up. He took his out and moved them down with his sons 3 days away from where Laban's is. And you know what he's doing? He don't tend his flocks, he's tending Laban's. It's Laban's flocks that God produces his wealth out of, not his. So you can save a lot and do a lot of different things. Most people are trying to make all their wealth through them. God produced the wealth through the guy he worked for. He ended up with more of that guy's stuff than he had developed out of his own stuff. See, this is the miracle of this thing. People don't get it. Where he turned around and took these sticks and he put it in a water trough. Now, I want to ask you the question. If I had somebody here that deals with animal husbandry, would they think that that would work to produce speckled, if you take sticks and you cut, you know, some of the bark off of places on them and lay them at the water trough and this. You know, he followed out something maybe that we don't have specifically. We know that God told him to do that. But we do know this. God appeared to him in a dream and he saw something, and we'll talk about that. But he laid these things down in front. What happened? God took sheep and goats that had no spots or speckles and started producing spots and speckled ones out of it. Woo! Hallelujah! God can bless you, folks. God can bless you. God can give you an idea that'll bless you a bunch out of the guy who's been taking you across. But see, we gotta listen to God. We can't get over here fight. He goes, I'll do this. He's following a plan that God has. See, everybody has this idea, and everybody still sees all the sheep together. Everybody that's ever preaches, I've heard ever preaches, always sees all the sheep together. No, they're not. His sheep are 3 days away. He's making sure for Laban. He's not letting his sheep come over and breeding in those sheep. He's not letting them do it. This is all being produced out of Laban's sheep. These are all the ones that are not speckled and spotted and whatever else, and yet they're producing speckled and spotted. Hallelujah! I don't know about you, that's good news. See, God told me to preach this. You see this story for what it is. I'm going to tell you what. You won't get worried about all this junk that's going on out here today and all this nuttiness. I'm going to tell you what the church needs to do in Colossians. Set our minds on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We need to get out of all this earthly preaching going on and all this earthly stuff. Anything we need is to hear from heaven. You need to hear from heaven for you. You know, God wants to prosper you. He's not going to give everybody the same idea and the same things. He's not, you know, some people are skilled more in other areas, and God will give you wisdom in your area to do things, hallelujah, and to bless you. And we need to expect it. God will do things to bring wealth into your hands if we walk right, if we do right. Because I will guarantee you, I don't care where you go in life or what you're going to do, you're going to run into people that ain't going to do right or walk right, or they're going to try to cheat you. And I'll tell you, Christians, Christians cheat people get so bad. You know, out at Rhema, and this is no lie, I mean, they sat and told us this in class. They got to the point where they were always skeptical of ever letting a Christian business do work for them, because they always got taken across by Christians. Christians would cheat them and think, well, they come along and half do a job, but you know, well, you're supposed to forgive your brother. And they got the point where they wouldn't hire Christians to come and do work because they said, well, the companies in the world will go by the contract, but no, Christians couldn't get the Christians to do it. See, the Christians come along and work for you, and they think they ought to get special treatment. You shouldn't expect special treatment from nobody. You should treat everybody the same. If you give it your word, you do something, you do it. And you don't go to your Christian brother, look, I'm not going to do it right, forgive me. Say, I'll forgive you, but I still expect you to do the job right. I'll forgive you for being an idiot, and lying and cheating. I'll forgive you for it. Now, if you really want forgiveness, why don't you quit doing it? Oh, that's a new story in the church, isn't it? No, we just forgive and let everybody go on. No, we don't. You call those people out. The Bible says you have a brother, he does you wrong. If you go to him and talk to him, he don't straighten it out. Bring it before the church. Jesus said that. We should be able to bring him before the church and have everybody hear what a scoundrel he's been. No, they don't do that today. We They just love it. That's why we have so much scumbag going on out here. That's why so much of it goes on. And in the church is the worst place it happens. If you want to get taken across, go to the church. Believe me, I know. I could stand here and tell you stories that would awe you. You need to understand this. See, this is why. If anybody has integrity, we do. Hallelujah. Look, God ain't going to try to get money, and he can't. Word to get it to people who don't walk right. He can't do that. Jacob's following a principle. He's listening to what heaven has to say to him. And he's worked and labored. And God has, and God's blessed, has blessed him. In chapter, in verse 43 of that chapter, it says, "Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys." Now, we want to understand when this took place up to this point. He had 14 years working, and now he's going to go up to the 20-year periods when he leaves. Now, we don't know how long after 14 years that he went to him, but we know this. Jacob got rich, but now understand, Jacob got rich in not a real a whole bunch of years in there. But understand this, Jacob was honest for a lot of years before he prospered. And we need to know that as Christians. That's why we're proving ourselves all the time. See, we have this Gnosticism taught in the church today. See, this Gnosticism's this. Yes, you're a child of God. You have a new nature. But that's all inside stuff. See, it really don't matter what you do on the outside because you're a nice person. I want you to notice that is not biblical teaching. That's Gnosticism. Gnosticism carried to extremes is done to this which is taught today. Gnosticism in its extreme is we have people preaching it. You know, if you sin, you don't have to confess your sin. It don't matter, you know. That. See, we're saved on the inside. We may live like hell on the outside, but we're still saved. I'm sorry, the Bible teaches you're supposed to live out of what's on the inside of you. Your actions on the outside are supposed to be by what's on the inside. If it's not, you're going to be judged by God. The Bible says so. We have the church at Corinth. Many were sick, weak, and died prematurely because they wouldn't judge themselves. And what was that? Their actions. What they were doing. And they got sick and couldn't get healed. There's many Christians out here today, and they can pray, and you can pray till you rub and lay hands on their head till you rub all the hair off their head, and they're still going to die. Because they refuse not to live right. They refuse not. They have a bad track record of not keeping their word and not doing their things and just walking along, living in the flesh. Oh, but they're nice people. We need to understand there's a payoff. The Bible says we reap what we sow the last time I read. I don't want to go that direction of being reaping. I want to reap something good. I don't know about you. But and one thing is I see is Jacob's a wonderful example of a person doing what's right. And he continues to do what's right. Now, in chapter, I want to look here quickly. In chapter 31, we want to see something that happens here. We'll talk this, can't read through all the story, but it says, "Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, 'Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth.'" See, now they come along. Now see, he stole it. Now, hey, this thing down, he stole it. He didn't steal it. He told him exactly what he's going to do. What he's going to end up with. Now look at this. And Jacob, he says, "And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, 'You cheated poor old Laban. Old Jacob, give everything back to him, and you go home.'" That's what I've heard people preach. This guy's a cheat. He cheated Laban. He's a scoundrel. No, the scoundrel's been the guys that have been preaching it. They've been turning on the guy that God likes. Don't be the person that does that. Don't be the guy that turns on the guy that God likes. It won't help you. He said, "The Lord said to him, 'Return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you.'" He didn't say, "'Cause you cheated me, I'm staying here, get out of town." He didn't say that. Well, so what did Jacob turn around? We go on and read the story. Jacob turned around and called his wives together. And you know what? His wives are even mad at their dad. They said that he had spent their wealth, what was supposed to be their part. He had spent it. In other words, this guy's out here being blessed, and he's gotten over here, and he's been overspending. And when it comes out, Jacob starts coming out on the top, and he's losing. Now he ain't got nothing. And he has spent what was even theirs. He's taken it. their part. So, and the women talk about it. The women say, yep, we might as well leave and go with you. Go, because he spent everything. Ain't nothing around here for us. Let's go. Now, I want to show you this is because we want to go on. Jacob turned around and left, and because it said the Lord told him to leave, and he left, and they got up and picked up without saying anything to anybody. But you need to understand this. See, I've heard him preach, well, see, you know, he was cheating, so he's trying to get out of town. No, he wasn't. God said, get going. God told him to go. He's obeying God. God said, go. You know, it's like when the Lord told me to go to Rhema, told me to go to Bible school. First thing I had was Christians coming to me saying, are you sure God told you to do that? You're supposed to leave. You have a good job here, and you're this, and you got that here. And you ought to stay here, you know? Christians. Wow, they don't listen to God. Sinners I worked with would come to me and say, wow, that's really cool that you're going to go do this. And the Christians are, oh, you ought to stay here. You should. There were some Christians that understood and knew, but you know, I don't think any of them worked at Reese's. I don't know anybody that I worked at Reese's, any Christians that thought it was the way to go. Now, I want you to see this because I want you to see something here about Jacob, what Jacob's doing. Jacob says here verse 11, he says, then the angel of the Lord spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, I have said, here am I. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise and get out of this land and return to the land of your fathers. He said he saw in a dream this what was going to happen. Why did he pick those speckled everything? He had a dream. An angel appeared and told him to do this. He saw to do this. He saw it was supposed to be done. And what did God say? Look, hey, I'm this God. You made a vow to me. God wanted a big 10%. He didn't want two goats and two sheep. God said, I'm going to give you a lot because I want a lot out of this vow. God can't get any more out of you than you got. You know, if God only wants me to have a small amount of money, then He gets a small offering. His cut ain't big. God wants His 10% big. I'm so tired of hearing Christians. I've heard it all the time anymore. Well, I just want enough to take care of myself. That's right. The heck with God. Just enough to take care of me. No, I want enough to take care of God, me, mama, the kids. I want enough to take care of other people. I want enough to take care of stuff. I want to get to that place where Paul talked about having enough to give to every good work. Glory to God. Wouldn't we want to go there? But we can. This man went there following the promise of God. All he did is following the blessing. I want this blessing. I want God on me. And he don't quit here with this. This guy wants the blessing. He goes through this whole thing and he's after what God has. So Jacob took off and it turned around that Laban went after him. And Laban, after Jacob had gone and gone on down the road, Laban went after him. And Rachel had taken her dad's gods, which that wasn't really what he was after them about. He went down after them because he knows this. He's after one thing. He's after them sheep and goat back. Because he gets there and even says, they were mine. They weren't his. They belonged to Jacob. God gave it to him. But he goes out down the road, and while they're out there chasing down Jacob, God speaks to Laban in a dream, and he says, don't you say anything to Jacob, good or bad. In other words, you keep your mouth shut. Don't you talk sweet to him, or don't you talk bad to him. Because if you talk sweet to him, you're a liar. Oh, I've had Christians come to me and lie to my face, talking sweet. They needed a dream. And I knew they didn't mean a thing he said. I knew it. I knew they didn't. You know, I didn't tell them because they're bad enough off. They didn't have to. And he said, don't say anything good nor bad to this guy. You leave this thing alone. You learn to shut up. You go down there. The fear of God is now on Laban. And he comes down and first talks big and he wants to find his gods. Well, he didn't find his gods, but he blamed Jacob for taking them. But Jacob turned around and told him off. But I want you to read here about Jacob. In chapter 31 and verse 31 and verse 25, it says, so Laban overtook Jacob, and he goes on in time. But first of all, Laban said this to him in verse 29. It says, it is in my power to do harm, but God, but the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob, neither good nor bad. Be careful. I think he expected a lightning bolt. And he goes on, he says, and now you have surely gone because you're greatly longed for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? And this goes through the stealing of gods. Finally, Jacob comes along, and after Laban goes through his whole thing, Jacob comes back, and in 31 verse 36 says, then Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that you've hotly pursued me? Although you have searched all of my things, and he goes on to that about the guy he didn't find, he says, now listen, this is Jacob. This is Jacob's 20 years. I want you to see what Jacob's 20 years is. 99% of Christians would never do this. Jacob's 20 years. Jacob says, verse 38, these 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock. Here's a guy cheating, he ain't paying him. He's making sure everything, he gets all his stuff. That which was torn by beast I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or by night. There I was in the day the drought consumed me and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I've served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. God put the fix in. God put the fix in. Now, how many years it took him to do that prosperity, how he prospered? This man worked a long time, and he wasn't working under good conditions. He didn't have air conditioning and heat on his job. He wasn't like the farmer today. He didn't go out and get in his tractor, and there's nothing wrong with the ones, the heaters and air conditioning. He's out there in the sheep. He's out there taking these sheep, moving them from place to place. He's out there sleeping on the ground. He's out there, you know, he says, in the cold. And it's hot by day. At night, there's frost, and you're out there, and he's out there working. This guy didn't do that. This guy did this for 20 years. Well, you don't know what my employer does to me. Maybe you ought to talk to God about that. Maybe you ought to discuss it with God. What's he trying to do? What's God's place in this? Where is he at in this? We need to find out and understand. See, as number one, I find this about Jacob. His character seems to be more important than all the rest of the stuff. It's not based on sowing. He hasn't sown anything. He's in reaping. You know why he's reaping? He's reaping because of his character and the quality of what he is. See, that's why a lot of the money thing out here, I believe they're way off base. These guys are way off base. Because if they were right in their thinking about how to prosper, then the church wouldn't be in its spiritual mess it's in today, even among their groups. See, the quality of our character has a lot to do with God putting wealth into our hands. You put wealth into the hands of somebody who don't have good character, find out what's going to happen. Go to the state and ask them about the billionaires that are made off the lottery. You know, they had a show on TV, Pennsylvania. How many of the people that won $1 million, what their lives turned out to be? Most of them had no quality of life, and they are worse off today than they were before they got the money. There's many Christians, if God blessed them, they would be worse off because they would end up just follow the money. They wouldn't follow God for 2 minutes. They'll follow the money. Well, Laban did have some good sense. That part of the story ends with Laban making a deal. And what the deal is, I'm going beyond this point. We set up a mound here. You don't cross that line to come and hurt me, and I won't come over and hurt you. And Laban needed that. because if there's going to be a hurt put on, Jacob was going to be better off in putting a hurt on Laban than Laban was putting it on Jacob. Why? Because, and Laban knew it. Laban knew Jacob's God. He had a visitation from him. I bet Laban went home. And you know what? You know what happened to Laban? Probably nothing. He went back home as lazy as he was. He had a good worker who took care of him. We know this. His sons weren't the good workers because he hadn't prospered with them guys. Why? They were like their daddy. Lazy. Jacob's the guy out there. We know his sons weren't laboring and toil for it. Jacob stole our stuff. Jacob's the guy who was taking care of the stuff. Jacob was the guy doing it. Jacob was the guy out there laboring, and God was blessing the labor of his hand. But his quality of his character, you need to see that. We need to understand, just having the blessing is not enough. Just to be born again ain't enough. See, we need to live out this life and live out in this quality of life and learning to develop our character. Learning to be honest, learning to be good workers. That's one of the things that, you know, I watch is one of the things my father never worked on a job where he made a lot of money and made much money. In fact, most people today would say, my God, he worked for nothing. But you know what? My dad was a very honest man. And my dad, as he got older, him and my wife, my mom were so blessed, they lacked for nothing. And you know what? They were blessed on the quality of their life, of their character. My dad, you could count on his word like the sun coming up in the morning. My dad would never go back in his word. He was what the Bible calls a spiritual pilgrim, swears to his own hurt and changes not. My dad told you he was going to do something for you, then found out it would take every dollar he had to do it for you. You know what he'd do? He'd spend every dollar he had to do it for you because he gave his word for it. My dad would borrow money from a bank and go in the bank on a handshake. They'd say, oh, Clyde, you don't have to sign no things here. We know you. You'll pay. My God, today, the people's signatures are no good. They sign the contract and then get a lawyer to get out of the contract. There's ain't no good, and the courts will let them do it. You know, I talked on the phone a credit card that we have, and I've had it for 20-some years, this one company that I had their credit card. And I was talking to a woman about the card because we were changing some things. And she said, my word, she said, you've been with us, and I forget that time. She said, like 23 years. You've had this card for 23 years. She said, 23 years. You've never missed a payment. You don't have any black marks, nothing. She said, this is unheard of. That's what she said. And I thought, I wonder how many Christians have their card with their black marks. See, you do, and it's one thing. My parents taught me. You were honest. You did what's right. You know, if a bill was due, if I missed lunch, I won't have lunch before my bills are paid. Oh, well, we have to eat. No, you don't. You could die. Would do the world good, would you think like that? Because I will tell you what you'll do. You'll make an excuse, and that's the start of it. If you got something you put your money out to do, you spend the money to do that if it costs you lunch. Because God is going to look at your integrity to what money's going to get. And never one time did we ever miss lunch because we always put the bills first. If I owed somebody something, Wanda and I always put it first. And we never lacked. And many times it looked like we were going to lack. But we never lacked. Why? Because of our integrity. If your integrity is not good, your faith will not work. You may get by a little bit and God will help you along, but eventually it'll quit. I'm going to tell you, I'm teaching prosperity. I'm teaching prosperity, the true prosperity of the Bible. Not the prosperity of men. The prosperity of the Bible. See, it's coming back to integrity. Folks, we need to come back to this. That's the thing, and I look at you, I marvel at this man. Man, just think, this man is not born again. He's not born again. He has the nature, sin nature. But what he understands about God, yet his integrity is this good. Where do we put it today for Christians? We say we're born again and people don't have integrity. Hold it! Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And see, we have this over time. They bought in this Christianity, all this fluff. All this fluff stuff come in. But we missed it. Because number one, I found out this. The blessing to my life is one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. See, when I was a sinner, I wasn't trustworthy. I know we paid our bills, we did our things and stuff like that, but you know, My wife couldn't trust me. I remember when I got born again, the Lord talking to me about it. He said to me one day, he said, told me not to preach to Wanda or say anything to her about my, other than I told her I got saved. And he said, you just live right and walk right. He said, she doesn't trust you. And why didn't she trust me? She couldn't have trust in me because my performance had always been bad. If somebody who always has bad performance and tells you to trust them and you say you're gonna, you need to go to Phil Haven and get some drugs pumped into your system and knock you out because you're crazy. Trustworthiness is always based upon performance. What do we find out about Jacob? He can be trusted. His performance is matchless. Wow. I want that kind of performance. And the Lord told me, he said, Wanda don't trust you. And he said, you need to start learning to do what's right. And one of the greatest things it was is over time, is Wanda learned over time to trust me because my character definitely did improve. But you know what? I know many Christians, their character from the time they got born again has hardly improved at all. They don't have good character. And I tell you, they ain't going nowhere. Because that was the thing. Because why? It's about trustworthiness. A person who isn't trustworthy can never trust a God or think somebody else. It's like a liar. A liar never believes other people are telling the truth either. They think everybody else is lying like they are. They think everybody's like them. If you're untrustworthy, you have a hard time trusting because you think everybody's out. You're going to have a hard time trusting God because you're going to think he'll back out. He's just like you. Oh, yeah. So I found out. Today, if anything that we need would just change in the church, I'm not talking about the world out of here. They're not going to do this. I'm not preaching to those people out there. I'm not preaching to Washington. They're heathens. I'm not preaching. I expect them to live like hell. They're following hell. I expect them to live like it. But in the church, there should be such a divide between the church and the world. There should be such a gulf between the two that people look and say, my God, do those people, aren't they from another planet? They are aliens. They are. They're freaks. No, today it's like we're so blended in, they don't even know. They hate Jesus and call Christian. They don't have a Christian friend. They say he's nice. Well, I know the Christian don't live right. They never think he's nice. No. You're nice if you live like I do, like hell. If you live like the world, then you're nice, you know. I found out when I worked at Reese's and I got born again and I started following God and all them people that love me. Man, Ed's got religion. He's weird now, boy. He's strange. Ed got religion. And now all this stuff, and I wouldn't go along with them and their stuff anymore. And they weren't talking sweet about Ed. You got saved and the world's still sweet on you? I know this, you a heathen. The world ain't going to be sweet on you when they find out you're like Jesus. Because Jesus said they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They hated me, they're going to hate you. Jesus said this. Well, if you want to live godly in Christ Jesus, the Bible says if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution. Kenneth Hagin used to always say, you can judge yourself by that. If you don't get persecuted, you're not living godly. Woo! Good preaching, Ed. Hallelujah. That guy can preach, I'll tell you. You live godly? They think you're weird. Folks, I was a sinner. I thought all these Christians were a bunch of idiots. I didn't like them to hang out with them. I didn't like them. Then I got saved, I became one of them. And that other group that hung around with me treated me like I treated them. But you know what didn't throw me at all on that thing? I didn't expect them to like me. And I didn't have no plans. Most Christians don't. They come to Christ. It's only to get problems fixed in my life. It's not about a life change. They're not looking for a life change. They're looking for somebody to fix their messes while they still live the same. We got to come out from among that. We got to be different people. I want to be like the quality of Jacob. Bible tells us that the things that were written that happened to Israel, they were written for our admonition or for our learning. In other words, I can look at Jacob, and that's what God's doing. He's taking a look at Jacob and the qualities of Jacob, and that God used him as an example for you and I in this time of how to live. Jacob was on the verge of the biggest change that was going to happen going along. Look what God did for him. Ended up taking that man with the blessing. That boy Joseph came out of him. And that boy Joseph, the guy he gave the good coat, thank God he gave him the good coat. I wouldn't have given a coat to the rest of those scoundrels for nothing. They said, well, my God, I hear preachers say, well, he liked him more and caused trouble. Well, I'd have liked him more too, and I wouldn't have bought those other scoundrels a coat. The best the other ones could do was poor old Judah stood up and said, no, let's not kill him, let's just send him off as a slave. That was the best the rest of the brothers did. And preachers stand up and say, he shouldn't have bought him a nice coat. You know, it caused trouble. Thank God he turned out like his daddy and not like these preachers today. He turned out like his daddy. And you know what? He got down in Egypt and it got tough and he was just like his daddy and the world got blessed through it. Hallelujah. The Egyptians couldn't keep him down. They bought him over to run the nation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And why did they do it? Because of his character, not by his pocketbook. Money ain't bringing this next revival. Money ain't doing it. Money may help it along, but money won't bring it. Character will. Character's going to bring this thing. It's not going to be like the revival of the 50s, where most of those guys died with no character. That's why they died prematurely. God couldn't keep them alive. The devil killed them. Most of the preachers of the 50s revivals that came out of the healing revival died before their time. Some of them in their 20s. Men who did miracles and they died. Why? Because of their lack of character. And it will not be in this last day. God is raising people up of character. There's a remnant in the church that's going to rise up with character. And this is what's going to happen. And I'll tell you, it was prophesied before and the Lord just spoke to me to say this today. That group that doesn't have character are going to persecute the ones with character. Kenneth Hagin prophesied, and I heard it out of his own mouth, and he said it to not fight. He said persecution is going to come in the last time to the church. You need to understand, everybody that says their church ain't church. A lot of them that say their church ain't church. He said there's persecution coming. It's not coming from without, it's coming from within. He said, walk in love, don't fight with them. Folks, we ain't going to fight with them. Why? We're going to be like Jacob. You just keep doing what's right. You just keep walking on. You keep walking in your character and be honest and do the right things. Follow what God says. And I'm going to tell you what, you will come out on top. Hallelujah. That's who Jesus is coming back for. Jesus Christ told Kenneth E. Hagin, there's going to be, you know, a lot of his people aren't going to be ready for his return. They're going to be ready for it. Hallelujah. We are. Glory to God. We're going to stand in our integrity. And I tell you what, if you have integrity, God will anoint you. God will bless you. God is going to start doing the dividing. You think the world's been doing dividing, bringing out all kinds of stuff? You wait till God gets his dividing done in the church. Hallelujah. We're going to know who's in and who's out. I'm already seeing it. We're going to know who's in and out. And I want to tell you what, the anointing of God is going to come on this remnant that's going to walk and follow God. And there's going to be signs and wonders that have not been seen on the face of the earth. It'll be in these last days. God's power will move in glory that is going to astound men and it'll even astound the people that are walking in the anointing. It'll astound them what God will do. The glory of God is coming and He's preparing you and I for it. Hallelujah. We don't need a crowd. God doesn't speak before crowds. He speaks before those who want to hear. The church today thinks crowds are the answer. Crowds are not the answer. The answer are for those who want to hear. Hallelujah. And you want to hear? Glory to God. God will talk to you. Hallelujah. God will show up for you. Glory to God. Well, I better turn this off. Hallelujah. My. The anointing comes and you can just go on and on. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can be like Jacob. You know, Jacob didn't do nothing extraordinary. He wasn't once kind of like Superman. He wasn't walking around with a shirt with a red S on it, was he? He didn't have no cape. He was a man doing what's right, and God blessed him. I'm going to tell you what we should expect. And see, this is one of the things why I think we haven't seen the wealth that that God wants to bring to the church is because our faith has only been in one direction. I'm going to tell you, God will pay you for living right. My daddy was proof of that. His living right brought him in his end. He was well taken care of, my mom and him. didn't lack a thing. And see, one thing about them, the quality of their character. And if anything that I don't see today in the church world, and I go out here, you don't hear much preaching about quality of character. You don't hear the things that I'm saying out here. Yet Paul filled the scriptures with it in his writings. Why? Because we only have certain segments of the scripture that we like. Those parted, you know, we feel like a scumbag when we read it because we didn't live it. We wouldn't feel like a scumbag if we'd read it more often and believed it, and then we'd have walked in it. We wouldn't have looked at it and said, oh my God, I need to repent, excuse me. But quality of character, be that today. I want to encourage you in this, is what the Lord told me to encourage you in this, is starting off something simple you can start to do. Isn't that good? You want something simple you can do? You know, we don't have to try to, you know, if you have to work on your character, which I do, I don't know about you, you think you're unarrived, you ain't arrived. Nobody has. I want you to understand this, though, but there's places that you can start so you can arrive. God will start to work in you. One of the things, I just want to encourage each one of us here, because whether we're working, whatever we're doing, whether we're in our own business or working for somebody or doing whatever we're in and doing, start every day and set yourself as I'm doing what I'm doing as unto the Lord. Let's quit doing, because he's done. See, that changed me. When that revelation got into me, when the Lord told me, why don't you work for me? When he said that to me, I knew what he was saying. You know, he wasn't saying, leave this job and go out here and I'm going to put you in the ministry. That was his intent eventually down the road. But you know what? When the Lord told me, the day that he told me he was going to put me in the ministry my own, you know why he said he was going to do it? He said, because you were faithful to all the ones that you worked for and the ministries that you worked for. He said, when you leave Raymond, he told me that the spring, right before the graduation in spring, I was changing classes and the Spirit of the Lord spoke. Just mind that, minding my own business, walking along. I wasn't in deep prayer and fasting. And the Lord said to me, when you leave Rhema, I'm going to put you into your own ministry because you've been faithful with other people's stuff. I'm going to give you your own. Scripturally true. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you your own. And see, that's the quality. And we need to have that from a standpoint, is if we will walk in these things. And the thing to do is this, is every day, get on yourself. I'm going to work, I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm going to do a good job today. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm working for the Lord. The Lord told me this, right? I was working, I was at one of these big freezers. Well, actually it was a cooler, it wasn't a freezer. You put fresh meat into, and I was putting packaged meat into it. When the Lord said this to me, he said, you come to work and you work for me. He said, I pay good. He said, I pay good. And I tell you, I want you to understand this. Over the years, it's proven itself out. He pays good. He pays good. You see, then it helped me so much because then I quit fighting with people about it. I kept quit getting angry at people. It became a revelation. Every day, you know what I'm doing? I'm going in. I'm working for God today. I don't know what the rest of them are doing. I'm going to do a good job. I'm going to go into work. And you know what? I found that I was a good worker before. I became a better worker after that. And I was already a good worker. But I became a better worker because what I was doing, I didn't slack. I didn't slack any. Yeah, I didn't take extra breaks. I didn't do anything. I'm out here working. No. This is what they want. I'm going to do it. I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm working for him. Why? Because I'm getting good pay. See, now, there wasn't a paycheck there at the time. I was still getting that little paycheck for 4 1/4 an hour. Let me tell you, it wasn't much. If the government took their stuff out and handed it to me, and I'm tithing out of it and giving offerings. Dear Lord, you get people today can't tithe or give offerings, and they got a whole lot more than I had. But, you know, we were faithful. We just faithful with what we have. And I was thinking all the time, you know what? God's paying me big. And a couple months later, it started coming in. Checks started coming in the mail. We weren't writing letters to anybody and say, you know what? God called me to come here to school and I don't have no money and you got to send me a check because, you know, I survive it out here. God didn't tell me to do what those preachers do, you know, as soon as, well, we have a need. You know, we're starting a new program. Well, that's good you're starting a new program. But you know what? Sometimes I wish they would start programs and not tell anybody and let God just provide it. But they know this. The people that are under them no longer listen to God. They have to send them a letter and tell them. They know that. These people won't listen. They need to be told they have something. I want to be a guy who God can tell me without getting the letter. I want to know that I'm the guy to send the bucks. I want to know that. God will show you. But see, we have such an unspiritual church today, and they're so used to getting the letter, they don't even bother praying and asking God what they're supposed to do anymore. They don't ask. Now, why? God's going to send you two letters this week telling you he needs money. You don't need to seek God in 2 minutes. You don't have to ask God in 2 minutes about it. You don't have to, you're going to hear it. And so, and folks, we need this. I want to come back to the church. I want to come back to where I hear from God. Where God can say, hey, Ed, wake up, you space cadet. You were supposed to send some money in over there. You get that guy the money he needs. Because I learned this. I am not required to do what God wants unless he supplies the need to do it. If he doesn't supply the need to do it, one of these ministers think, I'm going to go do it whether God got the money there or not. That ain't faith. That's stupid. That is men doing men's things. That's men building their own kingdoms. You don't build it till God provides. I learned that a long time ago. I learned it from a smart man called Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, oh, a lot of build ministries built bigger than us and did all kinds of things. He said, a lot of them closed their doors too. He said, out here building stuff, always hounding people for money. He said, if God don't provide it, he said, you'll go out and start that stuff. You'll be on your own. Then he'd go out there and cry to everybody and send out 47 letters and every week to somebody. And, well, this is what we're doing. So you don't want to get over in that stuff. You don't want to be there. Especially throwing your money in it, feeling sorry for him. Oh, poor guy, he needs help. No, he needs to go under and find out. He needs to hear from heaven. He needs to start using some wisdom about some stuff. God needs to provide. And just like with you, God needs to provide for you. If he doesn't give you seed and multiply your seed, how are you going to sow more? How's that going to happen? See, we get back over to the Bible, and our way is, no, take everything you got and quick sow it before God ever got multiplied a thing to you. And then you starve out a while they got your check. And they're doing whatever they're doing that they weren't supposed to. No, I tell you, God wants to bring it into you so you have and so you can sow a good harvest. Hallelujah. Let's expect God to bring things to us. Hallelujah. If you've been faithful, go to God and talk about it, your faithfulness to God. We're not trying to get him to do something. Lord, God, I've been faithful to do what you want. Lord, where have I been missing it? Maybe I've been missing it somewhere. Lord, but I'm going to work for you every day. I'm going to get up every morning. What I'm going to do is unto you. I'm working for you now. You're my boss. Hallelujah. Lord, I've had a lot of bosses. The best boss I ever got was the Lord. Hallelujah. When I quit looking at men, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. The men are still there. Jacob had a man there. But Jacob was looking to God. Did it work? Woo! It worked. And it's going to work for you too. Hallelujah. We're going to be the people with the best character in town. Glory to God. And you know what? Your employer is going to come and say, I know I'm being blessed because of you. I'm going to tell you, it shows up. It shows up. It shows up. Hallelujah. That guy that was my boss there, he knew he was blessed because of me. He cried. He want me to go. He want me to go. Why? He knew he was blessed because of me. He knew he was in trouble. He couldn't get nobody to stay and work for him. He couldn't do it. See, he didn't realize this is what he did. He ruined things for himself because he had this small payroll to his department when I'm doing about 4 people's work. And now he can't get nobody to do 4 people's work. The main manager expected him to still run the place on the same amount of money. He didn't realize his cheating is what closed the door on him and his job. And he got fired. Then the poor dumb manager found out, the manager over the whole store found out that he couldn't run it for that price either. He had to hire more employees. They set themselves up. They ruined it for themselves. I watch people do that. Take advantage of a good worker and take advantage. I thought, it's going to cost them down the line. They're going to do this. It's going to cost them. But, let them go along just like me. Let it go along. God will bless you. Amen? It ain't your job to fight them over. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you this morning. Lord God, you have a plan for us, the Church of Jesus Christ, and your plan is a wonderful plan. It's a glorious plan. It was laid out before the foundation of the world. And Lord God, I want to thank you because we've stepped into your plan in a day and time after the resurrection of Jesus.